Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It's Monday, brand new week. That means Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. His column over the weekend, absolutely incredible. Nailed it when it came to the Clark County School District, the fifth largest school district in the country, and a district that says it doesn't have enough money. They say they don't have the money. So what they're going to do? Jesus Jara, who is the new superintendent, has come up with his plan. It's a masterstroke, is what it is. To fire 170 deans, they're like I think they're like assistant principals, something like that. I'll find out exactly from Victor Jakes, but they're going to fire 170 deans so they can give teachers an upwards of 5% pay raise, 3%, which is the governor's cut, and then 2% merit raises. So some of these teachers could be getting 5% increases. Not bad. I wish I could get that with my gig. Anyway, Victor Jakes joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good to be here.
Okay. First of all, what do deans do at these middle and high schools?
Well, it's the entry-level administrator position, so they handle student discipline. That's the thing that people are keen in on the most. But they also do, they supervise teachers. They evaluate some of the teachers. And then they, depending on the school, they could oversee athletics. They could oversee different administrative functions.
So are they like an assistant principal?
Yeah, basically they're a step below an assistant principal. They only work 10 months of the year instead of 11, so they get paid a little less, and they're entry-level administrator position. So dean, assistant principal, principal.
Okay, and by lopping off 170 of these, that means probably one in every school?
Well,
every middle school, every high school?
I'd say an average of two in middle and high school, at least high school. I'm not sure about the middle schools, but the high schools have generally two. And it depends because some of them have bumped their deans up to assistant principals, and then those people are getting fired, so they're losing an assistant principal. But I'd say an average of two per high school.
Okay, and you had to read down about two-thirds of the column until you get to to what I call the money shot, and that is it's your contention that they've got the money. It's just they've chosen not to spend it on 170 deans.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone hears, oh, they're firing people. They must not have enough money. Well, they have $154 million more than they have. Next year, they're going to have $150 more than they had last year, and they are going to have about 10,000 less students to educate. So this isn't a matter of, well, the money's just coming in because they're going to have more students. No, they're having fewer students and more money. And so why are they having a cut? Well, because they're increasing their expenses in other areas. And the big thing is a 5% pay raise for employees. And so what that is that's people advancing on the salary schedule. That's about 2%. And then the governor said, well, I just want to take the whole salary schedule and bump everyone's pay up by 3%. And so that's what you've got. You've got those two things going on. So people are hearing, well, it's just a 3% raise. That's not, you know, it's not too much. But they don't understand that there's the second component is they're moving up the salary schedule as well as the salary schedule just actually increasing. So base pay for a beginning teacher right now is $40,900. You know, that would go up by $1,200.
And by the way, will this cost us more money in the out years as we advance because you've upped the salary
scale? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. So, I mean, CCSD is spending $150 million more next year. And so the second year, their expenses are $150 million plus, you know, their teachers advancing up the salary schedule and then all of their inflationary costs for healthcare and for, you know, fuel going up. So it definitely, you know, it cascades. So every dollar you spend now, it's not a one-time dollar when it gets spent on salaries.
Have you had response from the district yet to your column?
No.
I thought it was very powerful stuff.
Well, I appreciate it. And the thing is that the numbers are all from the district. I mean, it's not like I'm pulling these numbers out of thin air. I mean, the district has put out these numbers. And you know, what's not being connected is that this is a policy choice. When JARA decides we're going to give a 5% raise, that means he has to take money from somewhere else. He has the money. I mean, you want to hire the deans back. You give everyone a 4% raise, and you hire the deans back. I mean, that is the trade-off here. And the district's just presenting it as, well, we don't have the money. Well, you do have the money. You're just choosing to spend it on an additional 1% raise because you could give a 4% raise to everyone, have the deans, or you could give a 5% raise to everyone and not have the deans. That's the choice.
So where is our board of trustees?
Well, the rumblings are, and the board has denied this, so I will say that, but I am convinced that the board, that JARA went to the board in a closed session and said, you know, this is what I'm planning to do.
Whoa, closed session.
So violation of the open meeting law, yeah. They are not allowed to discuss this. If it involved contract negotiations, then they can go into a closed session. But this was not a contract negotiation. This was just JARA making a policy decision. And the administrators union is contending that they had this closed session, JARA presented it, and received some sort of consensus from the board, whether that was a formal vote or not, you know, not sure, but basically that it was okay to do this. And so the administrators union says they're going to file an open meeting law complaint, which if verified would force the board basically to go back and have a public meeting before they approve this action.
This is what I don't understand. Is the board afraid to have to tell teachers, I'm sorry, we can only do a 4% raise?
Well, I think the thing is that Sisolak, you know, Governor Sisolak promised this 3% raise. I mean, that was his basically big payoff to the teachers union for supporting him. And then they just generally have the 2% merit increase because, you know, you go from a 4-year teacher to a 5-year teacher, you just walk up the salary schedule. And so the district, I think, feels political pressure to not cross Sisolak. Basically, Sisolak made this promise, and we've got to implement the promise. Now, to me, that's crazy. I mean, look, you are the superintendent. You got hired as the superintendent. You're making more than the governor, right, as the superintendent. If you are going to take the heat for a plan, make it your own plan. I mean, that's what I don't get is, look, you were brought in to lead the largest school district in the country. Sisolak is brand new to education policy, at least K-12 education policy, has shown he doesn't understand a lot of the details, and you're going to implement his plan, and then you're going to take the heat for implementing his plan?
Now, hosting a show like this for the last, well, since 2011, I've talked to a lot of parents in the Clark County School District, and I've heard more than one set of parents say, you know what? There's so much middle management. Why don't we lop off some of those assistant superintendents and assistant principals? You know, our schools will be just as good. Now, the question is, 170 deans boom, out of the system, is it going to make our schools better or worse? Or,
well, I mean, I think it's very hard to tell. I mean, what I don't think it's encouraging. I mean, the positive case for it is exactly what you said. Well, look, it's too much administration. These deans are going to return to the classroom, so we're going to have more teachers instead of long-term subs. I get that, but when you're talking about having a high school of, 3,000 people and you've got 5 to 6 administrators, I mean, that's not a lot of bureaucracy, right? Like, we're not talking about 20 administrators for a high school of 1,000 people. And so I think, sometimes people have this impression that, there's just, the mythical central bureaucracy. And I'm in favor of shrinking it as much as possible. But, I mean, most of the money for the school district is going into the schools. And so I think the other problem is that JARA is pushing this idea of restorative justice, restorative discipline, which is basically where you don't punish people. You give them a chance to, get in touch with their feelings and talk to people about how it made them feel. And
gag me, please.
And basically that's supposed to do it. And look, for some kids, okay, that can do it. But for the troublemaker kids, that's not going to do it. And so the deans were the people basically on the front lines recommending, well, look, this kid's got to get expelled. This kid's got to get suspended. That work still has to get done. And if it doesn't get done, then what's going to happen is your schools aren't going to be safe and the kids aren't going to learn because they aren't going to feel safe.
This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you in part by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today, even right now. Check it out right now at 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. More with Victor Jakes, 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, as we continue Live and Local Now. The 2020 presidential election campaign is underway. Democrats will showcase their growing field of presidential candidates June 26th and 27th in Miami. They got so many presidential wannabes, it's going to take 2 nights to hear from them all. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Live and Local Now is teaming up with the Nevada Republican Party to host our first 2020 debate watch parties. And yes, we're going to Rhythm Kitchen. Wednesday and Thursday, June 26th and 27th. Doors open at 5, the debate begins at 6. Get there early and see our special pregame show. Enjoy free hors d'oeuvres. Be sure to wear your MAGA gear and feel free to hoot and holler when you see Pocahontas, Sleepy Joe Biden, or Crazy Bernie. Remember the fun we had in 2016 at our Rhythm Kitchen Republican debate watch parties? We're picking up where we left off. And here's the best part. Admission is free. Go to NevadaGOP.org to get your free tickets. And we'll see you June 26th and 27th at our presidential debate headquarters, Rhythm Kitchen, on South Decatur, just off the 215.
I'm John Sarpalis, president of Nevada Policy Research Institute. Nevada Policy has been following legislative session closely, and we've been letting you know what bills you, as a taxpayer and a citizen, should be worried about. We're doing more than simply watching what happens in Carson City. We're making sure that taxpayers, citizens, and individuals have a voice. But we can't do it on our own. We depend on our partners throughout Nevada, individuals, parents, and taxpayers, who donate to our cause and support our mission. It's because of the generosity of our supporters that we're able to give a voice to taxpayers and fight for freedoms we hold dear. Visit NevadaPolicy.org/donate and partner with us today. Together, we can make sure that government lobbyists and insiders aren't the only voices heard in Carson City. That's NevadaPolicy.org/donate. This Nevada Policy Update is supported by Jim Marsh Kia, Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super-serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Roberto's Taco Shop, real Mexican food you like. In Las Vegas, no one needs to remind you about Wednesdays at Roberto's Taco Shop. Indeed, it's a $1.29 chicken taco day. Ah, grande, juicy, crunchy taco. Loaded with hot, savory chicken, crispy lettuce, and mounds of cheese. All for just $1.29 each.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah. I like what they've done to my Wednesdays.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by Escape Adventures. Are you and your family looking for an extended outdoor experience? Then check out Escape Adventures. Owner Jared Fisher and the pros at Escape Adventures can provide you, your family, even your business with a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Find out right now everything you always wanted to know about outdoor adventures. EscapeAdventures.com. That's EscapeAdventures.com. Victor Jake's joining us, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Look in your crystal ball. How does this whole thing end, this whole education thing end? We've determined that cutting 170 deans would not be good for the education of our kids. I mean, it might put our kids at greater risk, all kinds of different things. So how does this end? Who ends up? This is like a game of political chicken almost.
Yeah, it's hot potato. Who's going to end up getting blamed for it? And I will say, I think what's going to happen at the schools is they are just going to pull senior teachers out to do some of these functions. They're going to find money in their strategic budgets basically to rehire some of these people. So I think they're going to mitigate it a lot that way, which kind of shows the foolishness of the move in the first place. But I think the school board gets the blame. I mean, I think the school board has been willing to be the punching bag by not telling the public, look, we got enough money to give a 4% raise and keep everyone employed. And if the legislature had wanted us to be able to give people a 5% raise, they should have given us more money. And that is 100% accurate. And I think the public would understand that if the district was willing to say that. But instead, the district has just returned to this narrative of, oh, we don't have enough money. We don't have enough. We never have enough money. I mean, it is like Lucy and the football, right? I mean, it's like Lucy, hold the football. Charlie Brown, right here. Come kick the football. The district's like, all right, just a little more. Just a little more. We'll finally have enough. And it's never enough because they always keep moving how much enough is further and further down the field.
Okay, so do you have a guesstimate? And this would be an interesting exercise if you ever had like a 3-day weekend or a 4-day weekend just to crunch the numbers. What would the number be where we could say we are adequately funding education? They've bumped up the per student to $6,200, $6,300 per pupil. What is that number? If it's not $6,200, is it $7,200? Is it $10,000 per student? What is that number?
Well, it's a great question. And the thing is that there's lots of different education funding streams. And so the basic support from the state is $6,200. The total spending next year is going to be $10,200 per student. That doesn't include money for buildings. So that is the total spend right now. And if you look at opportunity scholarships.
And that includes foundations and different things that the Title I money.
Yeah, all the Title I money, all the money from local sources, the property tax money that's not included in that $6,200.
Okay.
All that money, $10,200. all the class size reduction money, the Read by Three, the Zoom, Victory Schools, average of $10,200 per student next year. If you look at the opportunity scholarships, they are averaging, I think, like $5,100 per scholarship. And parents are saying, I would rather have a $5,100 scholarship that I could spend at the school of my choice compared to $10,000 at a public school. And so I think the adequate amount of funding is $5,000. Because if you give parents a choice, they will say, give me $5,000. And that's why the school district is so afraid of that program. And so the other question, you know, well, what just about public school? What about the public school? Well, what happens is when you give the school district more money, the union says, ah, you have more money. You have money now for a 10% raise, a 15% raise. And the school district says, well, no, I don't want to spend it like that. I want to spend it to reduce class sizes or to bring in tutors. And the union says, well, okay, well, we're going to go to bargaining. And what happens when you go to bargaining? If there's an impasse, they go to an unelected, unaccountable, out-of-state arbitrator. And according to state law, the first thing the arbitrator looks at is how much can the school district afford to pay? And so this is the problem. You give the school district more money, all you are doing is you are increasing the cost of current employees. That's it. 90% of the new money will go to increasing the cost of current employees. And so that is why it never seems like we can quite get to adequate. Because anytime you put money in, they just raise the price of everyone who's already working there. And that doesn't change anything. You don't fix education by spending more on the same people.
I'm just curious, though, that if all of a sudden we were to determine and we could get the teachers union and the school boards to all agree, okay, this is the amount of money we need to give each student. And all of a sudden we started giving the money, like ESAs, give the money follows the kid. Would our kids be learning more?
Well, if they could take the money and go elsewhere, they would. I mean, that's the key, right? If you have a monopoly, it doesn't matter how much money you put in a monopoly because the monopoly is just going to say, well, I want more money. If you have a system where parents get to choose how the money is spent, then all of a sudden the schools are going to say, well, I can offer this and I can offer this. And the union is going to say, well, boy, instead of a 10% raise, maybe we better take a 1% raise because otherwise we're going to lose all these kids and we're going to have to fire a bunch of teachers. And so that's why you can't fix a broken system by putting more money into it. It just doesn't work.
More coming up with Victor Jakes. Guess who's back 25 years to the day after the white Bronco chase? OJ's back in the news, and he's discovered a new weapon. Twitter. Unbelievable. We'll get to that more coming up. No, you're not going to believe some of this. He's doing Twitter videos, and I've got to tell you, they're funny if they weren't so sad when you think that he probably is the guy that offed Nicole and Ron Goldman. And he got off with it, believe it or not. And by the way, if not for trying to get some of his memorabilia back, he wouldn't have served a day in jail. Unbelievable. Stick around, more to do. More with Victor Jakes as we continue live and local now. Across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now. Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, joining us. We know the president tomorrow night is going to kick off his re-election campaign. On the heels of that, you've got polling. Trust it or don't. I mean, remember the polling that had Hillary winning? She had a 90% chance of winning going into Election Day, and it didn't happen. More fake news media stuff. Let's find out. Victor, first of all, the president's going to talk tomorrow night in Orlando. They have 100,000 people want tickets. They only have 20,000 seats. But it's going to be a raucous event, and the president's going to announce that he is running for re-election. What else is he going to say? What are the other themes?
Well, I think he makes the pitch on the economy, which is a very good pitch. I mean, the economy is incredible right now, and it was clearly boosted by Trump winning the White House. It was clearly boosted by the actions his administration have taken to rein in the regulations. The tax cuts certainly helped. And so the economy, I think, is a, you know, is a big selling point. I think you can talk about, you know, the foreign involvement in terms of peace on the world stage. I mean, I know Iran's doing their best to try and provoke us, but you know, Trump doesn't want a war, right? I mean, he does not want to invade Iran and occupy Iran. I mean, if he's needed, you know, if he has to go destroy a few boats, I mean, whatever. But I think that's a, you know, that's a pitch that Trump will hit. I mean, I think he will certainly talk about immigration. You know, it's been hard. I mean, he made a mistake by not pushing for the wall immediately on coming into office. And now, you know, the Democrats in the House are obviously overseeing what is really a crisis at the border. But Trump can certainly talk about his tariffs with Mexico that, you know, we're on. And then Mexico said, well, we'll do our part of it. You know, that was certainly a PR win for him, and hopefully a policy win. I mean, hopefully Mexico, you know, follows through and you know, we'll do something to stop the overrun of U.S. Customs facilities. So I think those are some big points. I mean, those are the points that Trump's talked about often, and I think we'll see them throughout the campaign.
Again, Victor Jakes joining us, 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm curious, do you buy the polls that are out? I alluded to that. You know, there were polls that said 90% chance that Hillary was going to win. And that was on the day before Election Day that those polls came out. 90% chance that she was going to win, and she ended up losing. Do you put much faith in polls, you know, a year and a half ahead of the election?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I think, you know, if you want to say, look, the matchup polls are garbage, I would agree with you, because we're so far out. You know, no one's really started hammering whoever the eventual nominee is going to be. They're going to have to, you know, if it's Biden, I mean, they're all the Democrats basically are going to train fire on him at some point, and we're going to get, you know, 6 months of attacks on Biden, and we'll see what that does to his popularity and credibility. The poll that I'm worried about is Trump's approval rating, because, you know, when he sits at 42-44% with the economy the best it's been in decades, if not ever, I mean, literally, if not ever, and you were sitting at 44%, I mean, that's showing that your ceiling is not going to be very high. And so I think you're going to see an election where Trump does not break 50%. And, you know, certainly he can break 50% in the states he needs to win the Electoral College. But you're not playing with a lot of margin for error. I mean, look, if Trump was at 54% approval, I would feel a lot more confident, whatever the head-to-head poll said. I just think Trump's ceiling is not great. I mean, it's high enough to win. It's not high enough to win comfortably. And so I think, you know, that's what should present concern. And I think, you know, Trump really sabotages himself by the personal persona. I mean, in many ways, it's what won him the presidency, but it's what's turning off especially suburban women, especially female voters, and they're over half the electorate. They turn out to be pretty important. And so I think, you know, there are some tone and messaging things that President Trump should try and improve on.
I want to ask you, and I've only got a couple of minutes, but I did want to get this in. Over the weekend, OJ turned to a new weapon in his arsenal, and it's called Twitter. Videos of him on Twitter, you know, announcing that he's going to get revenge and he's going to start going after people. This today, the 25th anniversary of the white Bronco slow chase. Your thoughts on OJ? He did his time, you know. He's paid some of the money he was supposed to pay the Goldman family. I don't think a lot, but some. He's been in jail for a lot of it. But now he's out playing golf. He's living here in Vegas. Your thoughts on the return of OJ?
Well, I mean, I think we'd all be better off if everyone ignored him. You know, but obviously he is a celebrity and you know, for all the wrong reasons. You know, that was an event. Can you imagine what the OJ chase and trial would have been like if Twitter had been existed back 25 years ago? I mean, you know, people talk about breaking the internet. That might have broke the internet had it existed in its current form. But, you know, there's so much wrapped up in that, but I just think there's overwhelming evidence that he is guilty, that he committed two murders. And I just, you know, I know he's innocent in the eyes of the law, but, you know, not my favorite person.
I want to ask you, because it was June 17th, 1994, that Simpson was supposed to turn himself into the LAPD and instead took him on this bizarre chase. Does O.J. have any relevance whatsoever, or is he going to become like his house guest and just become kind of a laugh line?
Yeah, I think much more of that. I mean, he basically at this point is famous because he's famous. I mean, he's obviously not a professional football player anymore. He's obviously, the murders happened 25 years ago. But you know,
are you convinced he did it?
Oh yeah. I mean,
there are a lot of people today still that don't think he did it.
Yeah, no, there certainly are, and I mean, I just think you look at the blood evidence and, you know, the idea that there's this conspiracy. I just don't think it's very convincing.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Well, yeah, but you know, he's talked about basically his joints were swollen and his hand was, you know, bigger than it was, and so. You know, look, everyone's got their opinion. I'm sure it's one of those things where, you know, you have your opinion and it's your opinion and you're not changing it. But yeah, I certainly think he was guilty.
And am I right? You would just as soon he just go away.
Yeah, I think that's what would best serve everyone. I mean, I think he's like a Kardashian, right? I mean, you're just famous because you're famous. I'm not saying that they are in any way involved in any sort of murderous activities, but.
But you know what the rumblings are now is that he had some sort of relationship with Khloe or with one of the other Kardashians.
I did not know that, but if we get a Kardashian OJ reality show, I will not be watching
that. Well, it'd be interesting. But anyway, but it's in the news, and he's going to be releasing Twitter videos on a regular basis. And he's got a gazillion followers already.
He's famous. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he's got to be one of the best known people in America. I mean, who do you think more people know, Mike Pence or O.J. Simpson? I mean, it's got to be O.J. Simpson, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's been in the popular culture for decades, and he's very well known.
Victor, it is always good to see you. I don't want to leave you on a sour note, but, it's been in the news.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I mean, I remember right where I was for the Bronco chase. I was at my grandmother's house in Canada, and I think I was watching the NBA Finals. I was watching something, and all of a sudden, there was the Bronco. And there was the freeway, and they were driving. And of course, I was 11 and so fascinated by.
Well, all of us were that were around then. It's always good to see you. We'll talk to you again next week.
I look forward to it.
Victor Jakes, 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review Journal. You read his stuff in the Las Vegas Review Journal. He does a lot of video stuff with him as well. Really fascinating, good stuff. Stick around, more to do. A review of the Sunday shows. What did you miss? We'll talk about that and more coming up, live and local, now.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm the sun, and I'm confused. On most days, you're all, oh, I love the sun, it's the best. But when you're driving, you're like, wah, the sun's in my eyes. What do you want from me? I shine when I shine. Like right now. You're driving around a curve in the highway, I hit you square in the face and you don't see the car in front of you stop short. And if you've got cut-rate insurance, well, that's not too bright. So get Allstate, where agents help keep you protected from mayhem. Like me.
Are you in good hands?
Call Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance. Sam holds Allstate's premier agency designation. Let Sam Peters make sure you have the insurance protection you need at a price you can afford. To get a quote today, call Sam at 702-870-4000. That's 870-4000. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
Roberto's Taco Shop, real Mexican food you like. Come celebrate the taste and fresh selection of classic Mexican plates.
My friends, you know breakfast is my favorite time of the day. And nothing can satisfy my appetite better than a big breakfast burrito from Roberto's Taco Shop. Mmm, I can just taste it. Mounds of fluffy fresh eggs, crisp bacon, toasty potatoes, tangy cheese and salsa, all wrapped inside a steaming hot flour tortilla. Top it off with a refreshing drink and it's maravilloso. Stop in today and be our guest to the best. Roberto's 24-hour taco shop with 50 convenient locations serving you since 1964.
Roberto's Taco Shop, real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, this is Chelsea Torres, Communications Director with Laborers Union Local 872. Laborers Local 872 is a construction union that strives to obtain more job opportunities for workers and employers. Local 872 is involved in issues that affect our daily lives, from creating good jobs to providing skilled job training, protecting health care, negotiating livable wages, ensuring safe job sites, providing safe neighborhoods for families, and honoring veterans and retirees. Laborers build everything you see on the Las Vegas Strip, from skyscrapers to casinos to stadiums. Laborers work in the tunnels and on the highways. We remediate buildings and make them safe by removing hazardous materials like asbestos and lead. With a legacy of hard work and getting things done, laborers are skilled, productive, proud, and diverse men and women who are building a stronger Nevada. Local 872 loves the Southern Nevada community, and we look forward to continuing to build a better future for all of us. Vegas strong, union proud.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
You know, I'm never going to want to speak for somebody else, but I do get a sense that after listening to Victor Jakes, that he just as soon O.J. Crawl back under the rock he came from. I see it a little differently. First of all, I was fascinated by his original tweet, which essentially set the stage for further tweeting, where he said, you know, I'm going to be commenting on what's going on in the world. And I'll be honest with you, I have a morbid fascination. I don't think he's ever going to announce on Twitter that he did kill Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman. I don't think he'll ever admit to that. But I would like to hear more from him. And if it's free on Twitter, I'm like, well, that's great. I'm going to open up our phone lines for just a couple of minutes at 844-2-NEVADA. Would you like OJ to just go away? Or do you want, I'll be honest with you, I'd love to have him on this show. So if anybody has access to OJ, let me know. And we'll get him on. I'll just make sure it's not on a day when Victor's on. But I would like to hear more from OJ. Now you say, what's so important about OJ? Well, he's just an interesting guy that has a compelling life story. that includes, you know, spending time in the slammer, paying his debt to society, and now he gets to re-enter society. Some would say, no, he should not be allowed to do that. I respectfully disagree with Victor on this one. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'd love to hear from you. You want to hear more from OJ or nothing from OJ? Call me and let me know. I'm just curious. On the Sunday shows, Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete from South Bend, Indiana. And this was one of the more bizarre lines of questioning that I've seen on the Sunday shows. Maybe it's a sign of the times, don't know. But Mayor Pete, along with Chuck Todd, responding to the whispers about, and by the way, this is cut two, Pete Buttigieg, responding to whispers about his gayness.
There is one whisper that Democrats have about your candidacy. Many are excited, but you hear the whisper, but, oh, I don't know, can he get African-American support? I want to read you a quote from the Reverend Roderick Reed that the Indianapolis Star interviewed. He's a pastor at the Uplift Church in Indianapolis. Here's what he said. I guarantee it's going to be an obstacle. This is about the fact that you're married to another man. I guarantee it's going to be an obstacle for the candidate from South Bend. That is really still a touchy subject, specifically and especially in the African-American church. Now, I think it could be overcome because we are gradually getting to a point of, and I don't want to say accept, but we are getting to a point of realizing this is the culture that we are going to have to begin to live with and adapt to it. I know you're trying to have these conversations with a lot of African-Americans. How are they going?
They're going well, and we are working very hard to engage people across the party, but especially black voters who expect you to demonstrate, especially when you're new on the scene, what your values are and how you're going to promote policies that lift them up. I also think we have a moment on our hands when we can do the exact opposite of what the president has done. The president has used identity as a wedge, used race as a wedge to divide people who have common interests. I think we have an opportunity to reach into our own distinctive identities and use them to build bridges, to reach out to people different from us, knowing that anybody who has been on the short end of an equation of exclusion has a way to sympathize with people who've had different experiences with exclusion in this country. And if we build a solidarity around that, then people who have, for whatever reason, felt a lack of belonging or felt exclusion or felt discrimination in this country, even though those patterns of discrimination are very, very different, when all of us come together, we win and we are all better off.
But I do want to follow up. I've talked to African-American congressmen who really like you and want to support you, where they're some of their more conservative, religious-minded constituents who vote straight-ticket Democrat most of the time would have trouble voting for you. What do you say to those politicians in Washington who want to get behind your candidacy but are nervous about this?
I'd invite them to look at what happened in South Bend. I'm from a socially conservative community. When I came out, we didn't know what the effects would be. It was actually during an election year. Mike Pence was the governor of our state. He was popular at the time. And what happened was I won with 80% of the vote. What that tells you, I think, is that people, if you give them a chance, will evaluate you based on what you aim to do, what the results are, what the policies are. And I have every confidence that American voters, especially Democratic voters, will not discriminate when the opportunity comes up to choose the right leader for the future.
Mayor Pete, talking about whispers about his gayness and that African-American religious believing folks won't vote for him. And I don't know if that's true. The other big piece of news that came up was, and let's go to cut three. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's not old enough to run for president, but is old enough to go on the Sunday chat shows. In fact, this is cut three. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was on with Jonathan Karl on ABC's This Week and talked about what, and this is her words, not mine, the anti-Pelosi animus that seems to be developing among progressives in this country.
Pelosi, though, Speaker Pelosi has really held her line on this. How is that flying with progressives?
Well, you know, I think for me, this question should not be about polls. It should not be about elections.
Sure.
I think that impeachment is incredibly serious, and this is about the presence and evidence that the president may have committed a crime, in this case, more than one. And so I believe that our decision on impeachment should be based in our constitutional responsibilities and duties and not in elections or polling. That being said, with the increase in polls, I think the American people are now recognizing in a much broader scale the depth and the severity of the misconduct coming out of the White House, and a demand to protect our institutions and protect the rule of law in the United States, and at least opening an inquiry into possible misconduct.
So how real is that progressive frustration that Speaker Pelosi has said, at least so far, and she seems to be really holding the line, that she's not ready to do that?
I think it's quite real. I believe that there is a very real animus and desire to make sure that we are that we are holding this president to account.
AOC yesterday on ABC. This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you in part by Sam Peters at Peters Family Insurance. Sam holds Allstate's premier agency designation and ranks in the top 10% of Allstate agents nationally. Auto, home, life, and retirement. Call Sam right now. He is waiting for your call. No, I'm serious. He's sitting by the phone right now. 702-870-4000. Ask for a free review of your insurance at 702-870-4000. Sticking up. Coming up. This is going to be big. Americans for Prosperity. I know. Oh, it's the Koch brothers. I get that. But they are embarking on something brand new. And something that's a little bit different. Maybe not right in their wheelhouse. We're talking about a rigged economy. Is this sounding like Bernie Sanders? I don't know. Stick around, more to do. Joining us in just a couple minutes, a national policy expert for AFP, Michael Lambert. What is this new initiative from Americans for Prosperity? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. Live and local now. I recently Google searched digital marketing companies in Southern Nevada and SoCal, and boy, there's a bunch of them. Hey, Kevin Wall here. So why should you commission Sofa King Creative Group to create and manage your company's website and social media? Well, to begin with, Sofa King Creative Group is one of the fastest-growing digital marketing companies in the two-state area. They provide personalized support to each and every client. I should know, because that's the kind of service I get from Sofa King Creative Group each and every day. If you're in need of a new website, graphic design, a social media, SEO, or maybe you need all of the above, give them a call right now. They're standing by to take your call at 702-965-2016. Ask for a free evaluation of your website and your social media. It'll only take a few minutes to do, and again, it is absolutely free. That's 702-965-2016. One more time slowly, 702-965-2016, or check them out at skclv.com.